Welcome back to the Crooked Spine Show. Today's talk is with students at Cal State San Bernardino College. What they did is brought these kids from different schools, high school kids, understand how to look at different professions in healthcare and how to seek what they want to do. How do they care for people? Like my warm talks, what I talk about these students is how to really care in healthcare. Part of that's going to be how to, my, if you want to call it equation, how to become top percent, top 5% in your profession, how to work for free and why that's important, importance of your character reputation now, along with how to relax your brain and body to absorb material, do well in school at this point, even down the line too as a professional, how to be liked, and why that's important not only in school and also work, but also in volunteer service, and also bedside manner, which is very important, bedside manner, all right? Also how we learn and how to find your profession, maybe healthcare or something else. Again, my talks allow these students over time to get the idea of what it takes to get through healthcare and through the system to become a doctor, a lawyer, a nurse, assistant, whatever you want to do, all right? So again, the show has the highlights for 1, 2 in the podcast and also the show notes. If not, go right to talk and I'll hear from you afterwards. Ready? Give me 1 second. Are you ready to go? You're on it.
All right, good morning. This is session 2. Our presenter today is Dr. Anthony Ratkovic.
Good job. Good work.
He graduated from Loyola High School in Los Angeles, attended and graduated from UC Riverside with a Bachelor of Science in Biology. After working for 2 years in education and pharmacology, he began 3.5 years of chiropractic school. He began volunteering in an office during his first year of chiropractic school, and eventually he started working as an associate after becoming a doctor of chiropractic. After learning and gaining work experience at this office, he was able to purchase into a partner and present the office where he has practiced there since 2005. The title of this workshop is Putting the Care Back into Healthcare. Give a round of applause.
Step one, before we do anything, because I'm a chiropractor, what do you get focused on? What do you think I do? Step one. What do I normally do? Posture, right?
Yes.
Good posture.
Occasionally.
So let's do this real quick. Yeah, that's a golden chair, huh? Okay. Well, fun. Who wants to be my demo today? Good. Perfect. I'll do you next. All right. So grab a seat.
Okay.
How do you normally sit? What's your sitting posture like?
Horrible. I don't know yet. I haven't seen your posture. Let me see. Should I get you a good camera picture? Good. Okay. Good.
Always something to work on. Scoot forward the chair. One more. Good. Bring your feet underneath you. How's that feel? Phenomenal. Best talk you ever in life.
Sure.
It keeps your back upright here. Okay, especially for taller, bigger guys too. It's harder in these chairs, but the more you can get your feet underneath you, allows your body to sit more upright. That's when you have more energy though. Right, energy, because this is a long day for you guys. So I feel exhausted by the end of the day. By doing this, keep your body up. More blood through your head, more thinking capacity, you don't wear yourself out. Just in my 2 cents, all right? Any questions? Face that way, too. Turn your mouth. Yeah. Everyone see that? Good? And one more time. I'm sorry. That's it. We'll go over if you want that. We're good. We're good. This my 2 cents, you're going to be in a classroom all day long, which you guys are, right? It's painful every day.
Ugh. Institutionalized till like you're 18 years old or something, right? Okay.
If you're going to be in healthcare, realize the school you're going to go through, after high school, that's what you want to do. It's the goal is to make sure you weed you out, to be honest with you. Okay, the goal is to make sure you pass, but sometimes don't get anything out of it. Out of anyone watching NCAA basketball tournament right now, like myself, anybody? Okay. There's 64 teams entering the tournament, right? Okay. What percentage of the teams finish the Final Four? If you do the simple math, 6.4%. Okay. Well, that almost, that's 10%. Be less than maybe 5%. Okay. If you want to be the top 5% in your class, you want to be the top 10% in your class, which is what I would expect. That 10% does something with themselves afterwards to be so we can help other people. but also make a decent income off of that. Wants to make money in healthcare.
Me? I do too.
Okay. So my biggest thing is, can you help people, serve people, and do the same thing, that point reward for that service? One thing is picking the right career. You can start now. I did a talk with a graduate school in Claremont called Keck Grad Institute. These kids, and I call them kids on 45 Mansion, a lot of it is they're looking into getting into med school about 6 months to a year. They're applying to UCLA, USC, Stanford, Harvard, a lot of backing schools, Baylor too, what I'm talking about. Okay, they're going through their what's it called, interviews right now. Get this at the resume, they're basically one from the door. They just have to choose where they want to go. You have an advantage over them. The reason you have an advantage over them, because you guys are young, and you have a lot of years left until you get into your graduate school program, after high school program, for 1-2. The reason you have the benefit, because now you have time to gain more experience. Okay? As a high school student, can you work in a hospital? You can volunteer. Volunteer, you don't get paid, right? But right now, as a high school kid, and some people do, how much do you pay for your own cell phones? You go off the internet? Good? Good for you. Do you pay for any utilities at your house? You pay rent at your house? Good. Good for you. Okay? If you don't, you have a lot more income, a lot more time involved to spend doing volunteer work. If you pay for your own stuff, even better. You're developing work ethic, and also value to make sure when you go to the next step for you, you're going to be able to have more passion for that. You don't have options sometimes. Okay, sometimes you have one chance to get through a program, and that's it. I would do what I graduated with. Half of the graduating class, 5 years after graduating, was about 15 years ago. At that point, they're doing something else. They couldn't hang. But they graduated with not $10,000 of student loans, not even 20 or 30, but $120,000 with no degree to back it up, no work to back it up. Not to scare you, realize you can do something, how to get focused right now, how to gain the experience and the knowledge. Get the knowledge in high school, that's fine, but the experience to use that, those both, get yourself the next step. Okay, any questions about that? In school, phenomenal. Again, knowledge is great. But can we get to where we do some volunteer, maybe even 1 hour a week? Or maybe two. If you don't like that one, do this one over here. Okay? There's different options through your school, through your program, through the city, even two, to go and help. Why is that important? Schools like that. And you gain the experience to actually see what you want to do. And you also get to figure out, what is my character? Can I actually, like this talk is called, can I care in healthcare? Can you go volunteer at a senior home for 1-2, not where your parents or grandparents or great-grandparents or family are located, but somewhere different and go, can I volunteer for a couple hours being on a Saturday and go talk to seniors? Okay, if you can do that and feel comfortable, that's one step in the door. You have the personality right now to help other people. You're in healthcare, you have to want to help other people. Yes, you can make good money, but number one, has to help the people first. Again, people that I went to school with, they went in because they want to make money, want to buy a Mercedes, BMW, a plane, whatever it was too. That's enough. They couldn't hang with understanding you have to help people first. Any questions about that? Experience. What type of work for volunteer? Internship? Okay. Finding a mentor for 1-2. Someone can go, hey, I'm looking into this, can you help me figure out a good way to get in there? Find ways to not reinvent the wheel. Someone's done it, figure out how they did it, that point backtrack. My school is in the chiropractic school. By the time my chiropractic school is 10 semesters long, okay? It's grueling, it's not fun. You're in school from 8 in the morning till 5 at night, study all that night for the next day for another 8 hours. Saturdays, another 4 or 5 hours. We have tests almost every day. First semester, we lost about 50% of our student population. And by the end of the school, end of the 10 semesters, half our class had dropped out. That's beyond 5 years later, other people dropped out. So we graduated, maybe 25% of our class were still practicing now. You guys see that because when you look into the next profession, is where, what is that school lead you to what type of job? and secure the job now, figure out who's in that field that you like, that you can mentor, that's successful in that field, and backtrack how they get there. What they do when they're in school to get to that position where they are. When I was in school, we had things called, you know what the old pages are? Remember those old ones? Your grandparents probably have them. My parents still have them too. Wrote this big book, and I took, okay, I took the one by list from my chiropractic school. Took the big book, the old pages. Went through the ad and said, if these students who graduated, they work here now, they have good ads. Because back then the ad was how much you put into it, how much you paid for it. That's how much you could afford. If they afford good ads, must have these not, you would think, awesome, well, maybe. Out of those 10, my alumni list, I took maybe 5 to answer the phone, maybe 2 or 3 wanted me to come in and just go volunteer, go talk to doc, whatever it was. By the time I finished the first, maybe first semester, maybe my first, second semester, in my second semester, I was volunteering in 2 places. Any calls to school, 8 hours a day, all week long. I found time on the weekends when I wasn't in school or studying. That event, I go to the event and help out. Again, just volunteer, maybe 5 to 1, something like that. Do something to where I can get in the door, then they get to know me, my personality, and build a reputation with them over time so they saw that as a benefit to them. Okay? When you help out and go and volunteer to find a mentor or internship, is for your benefit or your company or this benefit? What do you think? Who benefits more? Well, what do you go to the door for? What should be your priority? What's that?
Yourself.
No, wrong.
Experience.
Wrong.
Nope. For
their benefit. If you're going to volunteer at an outside intern right now in my office, about the high school RFP, Boulder URP, is they're there for my benefit. Okay, when they're there for my benefit to help you move patients through the office, help do therapies, help run experts, help people get in and out of the desire to run a quick office, my benefit first, then your benefit afterwards. If you're going to volunteer and go find your house you want to go to, or private hospital, it's you figure out how do I benefit them first. I'm busy, I don't need people to help. I want you to help me first, and I'm going to help you. So the secondary benefit is you getting the experience, the shadowing volunteers in my office, the how things work, the terminology sometimes too, how do patients and doctorships actually work. You go to that, your secondary benefit is that. When you're in an office and volunteer, it has to be, how can I help them? What do you want me to do to make your job easier, your life easier? That's what it comes down to. Okay. Again, this is just learning, right? I didn't know this coming in high school. I was like, I'm going to swim, play football, and that's it. Go to college. So how do you understand, I'm going to go and find experience. Well, how do I walk in the door? So these 5 guys to the phone, do that stuff with, I went and did workshops with them, worked in their office. They did fair, I did fairs. They went somewhere to do, promote their business, I helped them out too. All my own time, I get paid for it. But how do I work with that? So by the time I graduated, I already had a job and I'm ready to go. Half my class was still looking for a job when they graduated. So they spent, after they graduated, 6 months to a year with no income, no student loans anymore because now they've graduated, not going to pay to sit at home. And that point, just wasting time basically because they didn't have a job to walk in the door. But it took me 3.5 years of school, so about 3 years to build that relationship, so they knew who I was to get in the door and stay there. We have the job on the back of high school. We'll know where we want to go. Maybe, right? Maybe, okay. But can you look at other options now so you're not forced into that? When you graduate, you're going to do something. But now's the time, and it's only a few months, to figure out where you want to go, volunteer here, here, and here. And out of those, if you say 10% is where you want to go, right? So you need to volunteer in 10 places to find that one place you want to like. So instead of maybe, if it's 20%, maybe 2 places out of 10. But you need to go to 10 and go stick your head out a little bit. You know, it's uncomfortable for me, but I'm going to go and do this. That point, see if it works for you or not. Then people ask you, what, as a chiropractor, when you got a job in another state, and they went there, they got there, they thought it was going to be good for them, and it wasn't. They had no idea what the situation was. What they can get paid, how many hours going to work. They're like, so now they go somewhere else while they're working, and they sell them support, themselves support too. And now's the time to start looking. I said before, grad students there at Claremont, they're in the door, they're already done. they have some experience, some of them didn't. They're like, yeah, maybe not. But a lot of it is now to get that and find mentors for you that gets you in the door and keeps you there. Any questions about that? Difference between reputation and character, and your reputation and your character. What's the difference? Reputation versus your character.
People kind of perceive you as
for the
characters
you actually are. Exactly. People, what people think you are, your perception, from their perspective. Okay? You build a reputation by doing things, by helping people, by serving people, by showing that you do care about the people, applying your knowledge in return. So again, finding what you want to do, okay, I think that's good for me, go and find someone that does it, and then build a reputation with that person, or persons to help them hire you down the line. When we started out, even myself too, I worked as an employee for these office after I graduated for about 2 years. Gained experience, knowledge, and bought my own practice where I've been for 15 years now. So a lot of this, can you deal with, even when I graduated, I was still learning, still learning, still learning. I'm still learning. Okay? I watch videos. I go to talks myself too. I give a lot of talks. I do a lot of videos myself. I put a video up even once a day. It's crazy. I want people to learn what I do and learn how I do things. I'm going to take this right now. I'm going to make this into a podcast and along with a live video on YouTube. I'll break that down to clips from the YouTube video too. So I'll have about 10 pieces of content on 5 platforms by probably next week. So I want people educated on how health works by these talks. All of your students with these talks too. All of them. Any questions there? Nothing? School-wise, are you mostly juniors, sophomores, seniors? How many sophomores? Yes. Juniors. Yes. Seniors. All right, almost out. All right, seniors, are you going to graduate a four-year college, two-year college? What's your plan?
I'm going to take
UCSD. Good for you. Good for you. Good. You?
Yes.
Same. UCSD?
No,
I want to make sure that right. Okay. And the reason is, it doesn't matter at this point, if you gain experience while you go there, to get your undergraduate, what they call G's done, or their general eds, get them done. It's painful. It's all painful. But if you want to get into a healthcare field, they require a state board exam that you can't take until you take enough classes to get there. It's just the way the system works. You want to make sure you're safe, the people around you do a background check on you, make sure you're not a lunatic, whatever it is. You want to make sure you have an education about so you don't hurt somebody. Okay? I go through, I think, 4 state board exams, a couple practicals too, along with ethical exam, just to become a chiropractor. And now the state health department, what their job is, the health department, is to make sure I'm safe with my patients. So we call up on tomorrow and go, hey, but this chiropractor guy, he's crazy, he does these crazy videos. They'll come down and be like, what are you doing? I'm like, nothing, I'm sorry. Your job is to protect me from, or patients, from doctors like myself. So realize, once you're in the healthcare field, you still have to be accountable to yourself, for one, but also to people around you. You have to make sure you treat your people well. Okay, talk about exercises too. All my patients, what I do with them, is make sure they do routine exercise. Why is exercise good? Is exercise not good? Anyone want to exercise? No, right? Human body. How long has the human body been around? How many years, you think? 2,000 years? Even longer, maybe? Depends on what religion you belong to. But genetic-wise, human body's been the same for about 2,000. So it requires two things. But one thing is motion for sure. Okay, hunters and gatherers, right? Our ancestors, cave people, whatever they call it, indigenous people, hunters and gatherers. Either hunt or they gather vegetables, fruits, and berries, whatever they call it. Okay? Our genetics are not different. You can go sit in a chair all day, right? We talked about posture. You want to make sure you move enough. The reason we move enough is when our nerves are firing from our joints, from our body, okay, those nerves fire in your brain. When there's motion, the hormones in your body changes. When you don't move, the hormones also change too. Do you guys know what serotonin is, endorphins? Okay? If not, we'll figure it out in a second. Do you know what catecholamines or cortisol is? Okay. Catecholamines and cortisol are your stress hormones. they fire when you watch a scary movie. What's a big scary movie out there right now?
Is there one out there, or there's no more left? They made them all.
Us.
Us? Yeah, my daughter's like, yeah, she liked it. She likes scary cats.
Okay? So there's us, right? If you watch that movie for the first time, you know what it is. Yeah, like, oh my god, what the heck is this? But at a split second, maybe, you'll have a higher heart rate. Your eyes will get very constricted. Your basal constrict. Your blood pressure goes up. And you maybe can't breathe for a second. It's called a scary movie. What happens in that instant, like hunting gathers, sometimes you're chased by a saber-toothed tiger, your body had to get the heck out of there. Okay? Or it would freeze like a rabbit. Or a deer in the headlights, right? That's your fight or flight response in your body. The reason it is, when it works well, your body stays healthy. This works better, more material long term, so these classes become easier for you. Short term, when you're under stress, catecholamines, cortisol, stress hormones increase. It gets all the blood to your extremities, your hand, your feet to get the heck out of there. It gets your senses really tuned in to what sounds are around you. Where is the saber-tooth tiger coming from? We're working on faster than Jimmy because he's slower than me. I don't know, but it works. Okay? When that happens, that short term, not a problem. In and out, boom, scary movie's over, you go home, you laugh about it later, hopefully a lot later. That's when you're done with it, right? Problem when you're in a second chair all day and your brain's going the whole time after learning this class from this professor, this teacher, you're like, brain hurts. Well, this time your brain hurts, right? My brain hurts at lunchtime. After school, same thing too. When you work out, you go from a stress state because your brain hurts from all the material not moving. Work out, you get things to more balance out. But it means that you drop the stress hormones, increase serotonin and endorphins, so now your body goes to a relaxed state versus the fight or flight stress state. So part of this is sitting up properly, moving enough for you. At that point, you increase your heart rate, move the blood through your body to get to a relaxed state. That's where your brain can think easier, absorb more material easier, and you stay awake. Four things to do, right? Learn material. At that point, school gets easier, not harder. So playing a sport, after school things to routinely allow you, even if it's music too, music, yoga, whatever you want to do, that's when your body gets away from the school, go back to your class, you're like, now my class is easier, I can learn this now. You need that window, that break, getting this to work better, your body can absorb more material. Any questions about that? So motion in your body is very, very important. Motion for me is more of, in my patients, is how do I get their spine to move better? People come to my office with bad back pain, bad neck pain, bad headaches, bad leg pain, bad hand, arm, hand weakness, and numbness. They can't work because that's something. Okay? Flexibility, they can go to school sometimes too. Can't sit in the classroom all day. Or out to work too, or even drive with them. So my job alleviates that pain by making the spine move more first. That spine motion relaxes the nerves that are irritated relax, and the body can relax. And I start them with how to stretch, how to strengthen. Often they'll learn new habits they don't have already, how to get themselves healthier so they maintain that on their own. As a chiropractor, my job and as a health professional, educate my patients so I don't have to see them. It keeps me very busy. That makes sense? I don't want to see patients. I want the better so I can see somebody else. That allows me to put information like this out there, my posture videos, some exercise videos, people see that, and it makes them understand how to stay healthy. I brand myself with, if anything, the reputation of someone going to help someone, not just coming to my door every day. But doing these exercises, as you will do, and hopefully will continue that down the line, keeps your body overall healthy. So this works better right now. And line physically, I push about 90 people around a day. I adjust about 90 people in my apartment. I adjust people that are, I'm 190-ish, maybe about sometimes twice my weight, 400 pounds. I like jump up in the air like a ninja sometimes. Crazy. But the benefit is, I keep myself physically in shape to do that. Chiropractic courses, they go out because they injure themselves. They don't take care of themselves. They don't practice what they preach. I try to lift heavier weights, move my body around more, some cardio, I probably should do more, but I want to push that weight so I can push my patients around all day. I'm certified to teach even chiropractors sometimes too on
on a substitution basis, and that's my talk with them is, how do you stay healthy for your profession? That's when you get your body overall to stay that way. Okay. Who has done interviews yet? For colleges or for work? Whatever it is. Anybody? Yes, kind of work. Good. How did you interview? Good. Good answer. When you interview with someone, do you look them in the eye? Right? Do you shake them the hand with a firm handshake? Which is their firm. When you're talking to them, do you do exactly that? Do you do this the whole time? Why? Engage. And also as mimicry. Like attracts like. If I do this, and I said, does that make sense to you? And you start nodding your head just out of instinct. They go, I guess I get it. It's everything. Okay? You want to make sure if you're going to interview for jobs like that and everything else too, you come in with an idea of what they want from one to, how to help them first, and then the benefit is you get the experience while you're there. Okay? When you interview, say this. Let me move the camera for a second so I can see myself. Well, they have a few minutes left, they're going to cut me off.
Sad. Here. Use the chair. Good, right here. When you interview,
then I'll use that as an example. Right here. Grab the seat. If someone's I'm interviewing, I'll talk to you over there if you can. You can see? Everyone see? Good. And I'm interviewing a patient, right? Just like this. I'm doing the same thing. Well, I think it's important to the patient to have that. Or an interviewee or an employer. Why is it important to mimic their posture?
Make them feel comfortable?
Yes. Like attracts like. It's one of the universal laws out there. If you do what they do, at that point, it makes your life easier. Okay, this person's like me, they still like me. How do you know? Do you talk with a loud voice or a soft voice?
Soft
voice. Soft voice, right? Okay. So someone has a soft voice talking to a patient. I want to gain their trust because I'm a doctor, chiropractor, whatever you want to call it. Basically, a doctor with a big student loan. That's what I call myself. Okay? I want to talk the same type of voice they have. The same, not only volume, but also speed of speech. Okay? They talk slow, I talk slow. They pause between words, I pause between my words. These certain words that aren't really words, I have one person call it, instead of sciatica, which is a leg came down the leg, they call it sciatica. I'm like, cool. How's your sciatica doing today? That's what they think it is. That's what we go with that. Well, I have nerve pain. I have pain that goes to my head, but I don't know what it is. That nerve pain that goes through your head, you know what it is? It's called this. So I guide them using their own language the whole time. Okay? By doing that, like attracts like, allows you to gain their trust. So they see you as their friend, per se, but they can understand you're communicating the same page. So the goal is really, and again, look at their eyes. If they change their posture, cross your legs. What do you do? Slightly. You don't overdo it, so you may want to just cross your feet, maybe. If you feel comfortable, then cross your legs. Don't do it right away, because that's weird. You know? Give yourself a second. At that point, okay, what are you doing? How do I follow them? Ask me a question.
How's your day?
My day's going well. How's your day going?
It's going
well, too. Good. What did I do? I answered, say thank you. I repeated the question and asked how they're doing, too. When you do that, when you talk, especially as young as you guys are, it's not expected. Okay? We have some extroverts out here that talk a lot, as you know. Okay? Most people don't. And I'm okay with that initially. But even getting that self-esteem, self-confidence, getting that so you talk intelligently when you need to, at that point, that's my goal to interns. Most interns come in like this. Like, I don't want to get in trouble. I don't want something wrong. Like, you're here to do things wrong. You're here to practice. And one day you start crying on me. I'm like, what are you doing? I do the same mistake every day. I do the same thing. So how do we get them like you did, open up and go, okay, that's okay with that, then become a chatterbox, and then you just stop talking. So how do you gain that confidence, self-esteem, and you watch my videos too, my intern, so that they understand it's okay to talk, make mistakes, and interact with other people. Okay?
Okay, if you're going to shadow, especially in medical office for one or two, make sure you go in there with the intent of, how do you want me to help? Can I talk to the patients? I give my interns full rein. Talk to the patients, converse with them, tell jokes, whatever it is too, and always leave any else you need. Any else you need from me or the doctor. Always leave with that open-end question so you know everything they came in for has been answered. The best surgeons out there, do they get sued? All the time. Surgeons get sued all the time. They have to have good malpractice, costing probably $5,000. You got a seat. Thanks for your help. Good job. Is that even clapping, right? Commitments?
I gave them only. I actually have until 20.
What does 20 look like? Oh, gosh. Now I'm just using my whole talk. So if we're doing this, right, we're doing it the right way, I want to give interns and yourselves, too, a way to breathe and learn as you go. Okay, most people walk into the doctor's office, especially patients, you know, they forget half of what they've watched from them, like, dang. I've seen your patients, the seniors who are 65 and over, sometimes it's called the water generation. They come in and they're like, I had something to tell you, Mike. Well, first of all, I'm not going to waste your time or my time. Here's my cell number, call me when you remember. I want to be in the table room over there, I'll come back and get you what you need. Seniors, if you talk to seniors, again, 65 and over, just the old generation ones here, they're retired for the most part sometimes, but they want to be understood. And you talk with, about 2 weeks ago, with seniors about technology, right? The phone, the computer, how it works, how does it work in a doctor's office? Doctors are notoriously looking at their phone, on their iPad, putting information in, and that, for me, upsets because here's the relationship here. It's not here. So parents, especially seniors, again, because they go to the doctor maybe once a week, sometimes twice a week, when they're older especially, is they're sitting in the office for an hour. You know, the appointment's at 3, they're at 3, they stop away for an hour, they get rushed back to the room. They're over here in the room, they're waiting for the doctor, another 10, 15 minutes or so. Doctor comes up, hi, this is Jones, how are you doing today? How's your back? Oh, I have the wrong file. Hold on a second. Hi, Mrs. Smith. How are you doing today? They're like, ready. So how do you avoid that? By doing this first. Then once your doctor comes talk to the patient, then you go to the room and you write your notes. Or talk your notes, whatever you want. I for some reason, I'll go to a room and I haven't seen Mrs. Smith for about 3 weeks. Have your trip to Florida go with your cousin Johnny. I don't know where it is. Somewhere up there. But over time, it takes time to get that. When you walk through, you know the person's history, you know the person's name, you know where they came from, you know what their expectations are. The exercise you did them last week, and what exercise you did this week in your head. But it takes time to build that experience where it becomes unconscious. That's just time. Don't worry about that now. But can you follow or shadow someone who does that when they do this, not this the whole time? Patients want to be perceived as understood, but also in their own mind understood, but also you understand them completely. Sometimes I walk in like, I forgot that. Okay. But at least they feel like they're being understood what I'm saying, so I understand how to help them in the future. Any questions about that? Most doctors spend maybe 3 minutes with a patient, and yet the relationship becomes even worse because they spent 3 minutes with a patient. I spend 3 minutes with my patients, and they get the best benefit out of it. Because I know what to do with them. There's no wasting time. If I can see 90 people a day, 100 people a day. It's not hard when you have a good system going. You understand what they need, walk through with that same expectation, get what they want, and get them out. Their time is valuable too. You have to go to an office and wait for an hour for a doctor. It's not because the doctor is good, because the doctor's staff is lazy. They don't schedule people well. My stepdaughter had knee surgery back in October. She sees like the prime doctor, and he's probably watching until Brett's up with me. A lot of it is they go, well, it's an hour away because he's so good. No, he's just a lazy scheduler, his staff. Schedule people during his lunch break, he's not even there. What is that? Because he's that, no one's that good. You're there to serve patients. Okay, you're not there to serve patients, you're putting them in disservice, I think. So go somewhere, and again, you can volunteer, take 5 places. You might like 2 of them. May not like any of them, so find 5 more. But give yourself time to go to different places and figure out, even if you have your own doctor, hey, I like this doctor, can I come volunteer at your office? You go see a doctor, or an urgent care, even the school you're going to college-wise too. They have health centers. Go and volunteer there. Get the experience so you understand how that system works. The shadowing, the patient population is huge. You can't do that. Not for you. It's not for you. But you're old enough to have the capacity to learn that experience. But if it's your personality, to use that to your advantage to gain a career, get into a career, stay in the schooling to get the career, and then do well afterwards financially and also for your own personal benefit. Okay. Any questions about that? Nothing? All right. So, college-wise, are people going to focus in the future, now, even right now too, on just getting a degree or also getting to a career? You realize going to get to mess with these kids were in Claremont too. They've already done their 4 years of high school, 4 years of college, now 2 years of grad school getting to a med school, which may be another 4 years, which may be another specializing more from 3 to 7 years. It'd be like 85 years old when they graduate, right? Or am I a bad mathematician? I have bad math. Okay. But they'll be maybe about 30 years old by the time they graduate. Do you want to spend that type of time in school doing that and the amount of money it takes? Right now, student loan money is free. You just gotta apply, you get student loans, right? It's easy. But and then when you graduate, the problem is then you want the money back. Ridiculous. What do you want to do that for? Is that nice? So you have to make sure you find a career that you're gonna get into, you can afford student loans back, pay them back over maybe a 5-10 year period. I'm still being on mine. I'll pay it whenever I want to pay. A lot of this, can you do that over time? So you don't pick a career like basket weaving or something that does nothing for you. Here's a doesn't. Or something where some people call it art history major is fine, but we can do that afterwards. Can you figure out where you're going to go to college and why before you can go to college? That makes sense. You want to do that versus go, now figure out from there, you know. At that point, you find out where you want to go, and if it's not there, great, pick something around there. Nursing, even x-ray techs are getting paid good money right now, too, as a starting position. And getting more experience. I'm still learning. So can you continue to learn wherever it is? Where do most people learn? In a classroom or where else? What's that?
Hands on,
right? Application. That's how I learn. I like watch YouTube videos. People learn that way by listening, by watching. Even podcasts too, or audio. Whatever you can do on your free time, can you do something at that point and learn while you're doing something else? I try to run the weekend or whatever it is still the weekend, I'll take my phone, put on a podcast, listen to a podcast. When you're going somewhere, you're driving somewhere too, same thing. What can you have in here to help you train for the next step? I had someone in my last talk I did for at CBU, she was wanting to be a veterinarian. So her free time, she watched YouTube videos on veterinarians, watch shows, watch this. So she's learning as she's watching, some entertainment too, obviously. How to do that. What kind of situations they have, what kind of problems the animals have, and where she want to focus to. Without the application, without the experience, without getting some outside education from your classes, it's going to be hard to find the career you want. Classroom here in high school, at this level we're at now, the job is to make sure you graduate. That's it, right? How do you worry about yourself? Be selfish now. What classes do you want to focus on? What do you want to do? What kind of volunteer do you want to do? So the next step, I know where I want to go. What if you want to go to community college or four-year college? Great. What do you want to do afterwards? How do you experience that? If you're looking at home, too, if you're looking at home, you have time to go and volunteer. You don't have a lot of bills to pay for. I have like 5 cars, so it helped my auto insurance alone just someone's car payment, someone's house payment. Crazy. Don't do that to yourselves. Avoid that. That's what I'm saying. Too many kids. Okay. Any questions here? Who watches videos on YouTube about what you want to do? Good, what do you want?
Psychology.
Good, why?
I want to be a psychiatrist.
Good. How many classes does it take to become a psychologist? Not a joke, it's just sounds like a joke, right?
Yeah.
How many classes?
I don't know.
A lot. How about units of outside, call them internships or those hours too? A lot. Just say a lot. Oh, plethora, that's a big word, plethora. Okay? Can you find a psychologist, psychiatrist now to go and volunteer, intern, watch their videos, exactly, how to do what they want to do, what it takes.
I did talk at a high school locally in my area. It was a split room, so we had 30 minutes for me, 30 minutes for him. He was a psychologist. He was like, and his talk was, don't be a psychologist. It takes way too long school. He was like, I think it was a psychologist trying to talk kids into it, but it wasn't. A lot of us, he was like, it takes so many years of school, so many hours of schooling afterwards, and do so many intern hours. I'm like, what is he doing? But he was telling me, it's not easy. We all want to help people, right? But you have to find something you can do and do for a long time. When you're a psychologist, students will go, hey, how's it going? Had a great day today, I'll see you tomorrow. What do they do?
Like, things you have to carry, like what they have to carry for the rest of the day.
So all we did right there, posture, everything else too, has to be on point. Okay? Be dealing with their problems every day. Don't come in like, had a great day today, I'll see you tomorrow. It's problems, problems, problems. You have to be able to handle that psychologically yourself so you don't burn yourself out. Come home with your problems and yell at your dog all day. The other dog runs away. I run away too. So how do you get this? How do you look at the back end? And what's a good chiropractor? Mine is, what do people not like about chiropractors? That was my intro. What do people like about not about dentistry or dentists? I want to find what's the worst, what do they don't like? How do I avoid that so I can still do well over here? Can what they don't like, especially students too, can I handle that and still like the profession? Because schools, what do psychology schools do, for example, not profession? If it's a graduate program for one, two, what's the school's job? What's that?
Teach
it, but how do they get you in the door though? How do they get you to go to their school?
Advertising.
What's that?
Advertising.
Is that advertising positive or negative? Positive, right? Their job is getting you in the door. That's it. You gotta tell you all the problems they have, all the kids who drop out, all the suicides afterwards because they can't handle it. That's negative marketing. So you wanna make sure you find out for yourself, do people in that field that you know or can know or look up or call, and are people who are on Facebook, on Instagram, YouTube, whatever you wanna call it. At that point, find out what the positive and negative is. So you don't get sucked into just the positive, spend thousands of dollars, and not realize, oh, that negative, I'm out. People are graduating again. They're not doing that right here, but they have been too low. You go up in Knoxville every day, hey, how are you going to pay this thing back, like? I don't want to be that person. Or you either, too. That's why you're here. Okay? Moon techniques, shadow, volunteer, whatever you want to call it, find a mentor. Find someone who's willing to help you. If they're going to help you, they're confident in their field. I like the 1 minute picture. That point, confident in their field. If you're going to have to, again, you have to find people, you're going to have to search several people. That one's not confident, that one, no, I don't have time to give up. Don't shadow with them. Avoid them. They're the negative. Find someone who likes their profession. Find out what you want to do. That point, go and help them first, and then they'll teach you what they do. Because they're confident with them. Any other questions, answers, statements? Good. You can find me on Facebook, Instagram, you can chiropractic. Anything out there if you want to. Call me, text me, whatever. I'm going to shout out if you want, if you have a break. I had kids come in this last week because they're at a climb out, they came and volunteered. If you guys let me know, have a good rest of the day, guys.
A role of a health professional is also to educate. May it be their patients, may it be their clients, may it be, in this sense, students for one, too, to help them understand, if I'm a healthcare professional, what am I? What do I do? Do I exemplify health? Do I do exercise? Do I stretch? Do I talk about how the body works for one, too? In this sense, do I promote people to become healthcare professionals and exemplify that and have confidence in it so actually I become someone that helps educate, promotes, again, people around my community, people in my office, and then my patients, too. Again, the show notes has highlights from this talk, drum highlights if you want to jump to those. Also, the full video of this podcast and also to other previous podcast videos. Right, so hope you enjoy the week. Hope this makes sense either as a patient, someone looking for a health professional, or a student looking to become a health professional. Right, so have a great week. We'll see you in the next one.